friends. We're Christine, Marie, and Julie, and we're your in-house certified law of attraction coaches and much more.
I know whenever I hear that song, that my brain just, it just won't let go. It's like, back in France in the 60s, we were all so cool.
Yeah.
I wasn't even listening to you, Jill. I was just listening to the song.
Yeah, because, you know.
I was a yeah girl.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. I love that song.
I was a yeah girl.
I got a little cough here, girlfriend. I'm sorry.
You have a little cough?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh.
Not bad. But I just want to tell everybody before we get into our show, it's going to be a fun show tonight. I got a couple of stories I want to share, and Christine and Marie and I are going to talk about family dynamics and kind of some new stuff we're seeing, and
mm-hmm.
it's our way of, I guess, giving our 2 cents as a mother-daughter team.
It's life with the girlfriends. We're the girlfriends, but we're also mother and daughter.
Exactly.
And I'm mom. I'm the mom. I'm the yeah girl.
Exactly. Yes, you are. And you've got your master's degree in counseling, and you're a psychotherapist, and you've got certification, grief bereavement, and you're also intuitive.
I'm sorry I'm laughing, because I love the way you said that. Here's the way you say this. You got your degree in psychotherapy. You're also a counselor. You're a coach.
You always say, Julie, you keep raising your voice. At the end of every sentence, like, is it a question?
You have a certificate in this. You have a certificate. And I'm like, yes, I am certifiable.
Yes, you
That's
are.
That's what people need to know.
Exactly. And you can reach us and give us any questions you may have or comments about our show at talktous@christinemarieandjulie.com. That's talktous@christinemarieandjulie.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to our BBS Radio page, bbsradio.com/lifewiththegirlfriends. And, of course, a couple of our many websites, which is the Practical Intuitive for Mama.
The practicalintuitive.com. Part of my practice is that I do help people with, you know, by using my intuition and things that I've developed over the decades.
Yes.
And you can go there and just read a little bit about it and then email me at talktous@christinemarieandjulie.com. Where else? Theclutterflyeffect.com.
Yeah, theclutterflyeffect.com.
Yay.
You can sign up right there for our free stuff as well.
Okay.
We've got some prosperity postcards there, where every day you get a little audio postcard from us in your mailbox, and it's 1 or 2 minutes long, kind of giving you a good tip for the day to start your day off fresh and happy.
Mm-hmm. We have 365.
Oh, my gosh, I know. Crazy.
You know what that equals?
A year.
Yes. Yes.
A lot of work.
A lot.
I don't know.
But but you know, we've got people who email us and say thank you for those. And it really is sweet, because especially when there's a hit.
Yes.
Like, you know, you get your postcard in the mail in the morning and it's exactly what you needed to hear.
Yes, exactly.
Maybe not so much what you wanted to hear, but exactly what you needed to hear. That's kind of fun, isn't it? That synchronicity.
It is, and I always love it when a client will go or someone will go, you know, I just finished your last one, it's been a year, and I want to get more. And,
right.
I'm like, you know, just put your name in again, and they'll come to start over again.
Start over. Because it'll be at a deeper level.
Exactly.
It really will.
You'll have forgotten the first one. Trust me, it's been a year.
I remember doing those, and there were pee my pants moments. I mean, we would laugh. We had tears going down our legs.
We certainly did. It was so much fun. And I think a couple were just bloopers.
Yes.
Because it was just hysterical.
And did we leave the bloopers in? I don't know.
I don't know either. I think we did.
But, that would be good if we did.
And at theclutterflyeffect.com, you can go right there and click on to buy our book, The Clutterfly Effect.
Mm-hmm.
And what's it about, girlfriend?
Boy, so much. I mean, priceless. But really, The Clutterfly Effect is really about tweaking your way to total transformation by decluttering your life. And, you know, really, even though we are the prosperity girls, we love prosperity, but really we are the decluttering girls. We always ask ourselves, what can we eliminate? What can we declutter? What can we get rid of first to make room for the new?
Right.
To just make room for all the stuff that And it's not just stuff. I mean, you need to clear a way to make more room for a spiritual anchor, you know, a soulful anchor. You know, there's just a lot of, I'm thinking clutter, but you know what the word is coming right now? Is lies.
Yes.
A lot of stuff that we have to get rid of is lies we told ourselves.
Right.
Lies our mothers told us.
Yes. Lies society tells us we have to have.
Yes.
Like, I gotta have this.
Yes.
I don't need this anymore.
Right.
You know? You're exactly right. The more we get to know who we really are, we're going to talk about that a little bit today, too,
mm-hmm.
about getting to know the truth of things. We talked about that last week a little bit, the different
yeah.
fun way.
Yeah.
But sometimes we don't know our motivation for things. And when we get to know our motivation, we get to know more of our truth and where that can lead us.
Mm-hmm.
And usually that leads us to better questions, better actions, better
mm-hmm.
responses.
Oh, I agree. I agree.
We know all that stuff.
Right.
And I want to talk a little bit right now, girlfriend, unless you want to know something more about the awesome book.
Well, it is an awesome book. It's an Amazon number one bestseller. I think
yes.
it's still on the bestseller list.
Some category, yeah.
And a couple of categories. And if you purchase through Amazon, or I think we even have a button on the BBS.com Life with a Girlfriend's page
yes.
where they can order it. If you send us the receipt, you know, at talktous@ChristineMarieAndJulie.com, we will send you free but priceless the audio version
Yay.
Of the Clutterfly Effect, spoken in humble words by who, Julie?
Us. And sometimes I'm going, oh, I sound like I have a cold. I'm breathing heavy.
Well, you know.
We're not saying, hey, it's free, people.
We didn't go into, we didn't go at like, Jessica Fletcher,
yes.
and she gets to go in the studios and do her audiobooks.
Yeah, I didn't get my degree in stage.
Right.
I didn't use that kind of inflection. I love this. Yeah. And you have to clear the clutter.
But you can
you
imagine us in
clutter?
Our pajamas in my bedroom, in my walk-in closet, because that's very much got a nice sound system in there.
There you go.
Sitting there reading our book for you.
Yes, for you guys.
So that's what I did want to add.
I love it.
But I'm sure we'll be talking about the Clutterfly Effect some more tonight.
Yes. And what I want to talk about, what's going to be happening for the next several weeks, probably the next 10 weeks of our show.
Yes.
We're going to be part of this great movement called Unwavering Strength. And it's a book coming out in September.
I think it's September 30th.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And what it's going to be about is just a compilation of different stories, true stories about people, well, I have to say, you know, in loss and grief and difficult situations when they've really shown unwavering, unwavering
mm-hmm.
strength.
Absolutely. That's, I think we have anywhere between 20 and 30 authors who share their stories. I mean, very poignant stories. You know, we, as a society, I think it's mm-hmm. difficult to address grief.
It is.
And we kind of see it as jumping off of somebody and coming onto us. And we're like, no, please, I don't want to catch it. No.
Yes.
But this story, these stories, you know, from the heart and what people do to get through this.
I was looking, yeah.
What they do and how they did it. And it does feel, because I'm part of this, and not part of this book, but I'm part of the next book, but it does have this movement
mm-hmm.
afoot,
yes.
you know, feeling that, you know, you can, when we talk to people about it and they get excited and they go, oh, wait a minute, I want, you know, my group to hear this about
yes.
this. And so there's just some excitement about this. And because we call it the Book of Us, because Unwavering Strength, U.S., and people just talk about it as us now, you know, the Us book.
Yes.
And so we're excited to be, like you said, Julie, next 10, 12 weeks to be interviewing at least two authors a week, I think.
Right. And it's so lovely to talk about this. It's in this society, we're not allowed to experience grief, and or if you're into grief too much,
right?
People don't have a response.
Right.
It can, and so you walk this tightrope, and we experience grief not just through sickness or death, but through so many ways. I mean, loss of businesses, loss of careers, loss of dreams, and it hits us differently.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to be able to move through this grief and somewhat bring it into who we are, and still move on.
Yeah, we want to feel it, express it, move it through us, and then to it can ennoble us, it can elevate us. But it will leave us transformed.
Yes.
You know, in many ways. I know that, you and I were talking about this. This was a while ago, but I have a niece, and she lost her mom, and then a year or two later, she lost her dad, which is my brother, unexpectedly as well. And then perhaps a year later than that, she lost her only brother.
Yes.
And she was... She doesn't live in our state or anything, so it's not like we have a, you know, I can see her often. But she was saying, you know, sometimes people don't even want to talk to me.
Yeah.
And we understood that, because just to look at her is to just feel sad.
Oh,
and even
yeah.
more than that.
I remember that, saying, I go, honey, sometimes your personal grief is overwhelming.
Yes.
And because she did wear it pretty much out there, you know,
yes.
and
yeah.
you wanted to feel sorry, but yet you just, like, you're young. We want you to feel good,
yeah.
you know, and not good. Just we want you to. We know this is hard,
mm-hmm.
and
but
you
I don't
got
think
life.
But I don't think she understood the reaction that most, you know, normal ordinary people had
right
toward her. I think she wanted, like, oh please. She needed more therapy, really.
Yeah, she needed someone to be on her side.
Yeah.
Unconditionally.
Yeah.
Because she didn't have that anymore, you know? And it's interesting, because I remember her saying that to me. I'm like, I understand that, because it does feel overwhelming, but you can always call me,
mm-hmm.
and I will just listen to you.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're not part of her, you know, her inner circle, somebody outside can do that.
Right.
Somebody outside. That's what we need sometimes, somebody
mm-hmm.
outside the situation.
Right.
To hear our pain.
And they can hold it better,
yeah.
I believe. And I think that's exactly what the Unwavering Strength movement is. There's some sort of organic movement and feeling about it that we're all sort of able to hold each other's
yes.
pain or grief, and then to go beyond that and find that seed of unwavering strength.
Definitely.
Know? So we're going to be able to be talking about that over the next several weeks, and I'm excited to do that, and honored as well.
I agree with you totally, because, I mean, I really feel honored by being a part of this group as well, and you being in the next book and sharing your story. And I know that we'll talk about this a little later, but, you know, when you've just recently experienced some grief or some loss and how that affects you, you know, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of want to change topics a little bit,
sure.
kind of go a little lighter.
No, you can't. You must stay here.
I know.
And feel this.
I said to you, I go, my goal the next 10 weeks or 12 weeks will be how to bridge our discussion about strength and unwavering strength and grief and loss into lightness.
Right.
And
we're lightheartedness. And we're the gals to do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. I'll figure it out somehow, someway.
We, because you know what? We've all been there.
Yeah.
Nothing is off limits.
Yeah.
And how do we lighten the load? You
right.
know? It is important. We just can't, like, yo, hee, ho. You know, it's like, no. We need to ultimately get there where it's lighter and there's movement around
yeah.
it and space around it.
For sure. Well, I was hearing this one story today on NPR, I don't know, a weekend edition or something like that, and I just love this story, and I wanted to share it with everybody, because it just brought a Sunday night, it makes my heart sing, and it was about this this black man. He was going to his high school reunion. It was this, he was 78 years old, and he was going back to his, I guess it would be his 50th anniversary or 50th.
And he's how much, 78?
78, would that be right?
I would say more like 60th. Right.
No, because 60th. Yeah, you're right, 60th. Thank you. 60th. Whoa, that's awesome. And he was talking, he became a lawyer, and he became, this was in the 50s, was that right? Yeah, well, and he graduated. But he became a lawyer, and he got his doctorate in divinity, had this hugely successful life. And
you were telling me that this happened right here in Illinois, right?
In Galesburg, Illinois.
In Galesburg,
yes.
Which is just a couple hours drive from us.
Right. And he was sharing with some of his friends from his hometown that he never got his high school diploma. And the reason why was during this time, the 50s, there was race issues. Even though Galesburg was huge in the Underground Railroad and equality for all, during this time, the 50s, they had segregation of the parks, and weird stuff was going on in Galesburg. And they decided, him and his another black friend of his and two Hispanic friends of his, went to this park to have lunch. And it was a segregated park, and his counselor said, there might be a consequence if you go here. You know, I don't know if I can advise you to go because there may be consequences. And he's like, no, I want to take a stand for my rights. You know, we're all created equal. And he did this, and they denied him his diploma. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
I mean, and he had A's and B's. And
I think you told me, too, that he had already at that time been accepted into U of I.
Yes. And they denied him that after he didn't graduate.
Right.
And so luckily the local college, community college, maybe said, yes, we'll let you go into college right now. We know the whole story. And then he later then went back into U of I and then got his law degree. And what was interesting, though, after telling his friends made it their mission to get him his high school diploma.
Mm-hmm.
And at this graduate or at the anniversary or reunion, I should thank you, the reunion, he went with his, you know, cap and gown, and the high school principal, you know, gave him his diploma. They said they found his transcripts in a basement somewhere.
Wow.
And they said he did really good. He got A's and B's and a couple C's. He said he got a C in typing. And I, you know, but we forgive him for
so
that.
So did I.
Yeah, who didn't get a C in typing? And so it was so sweet. And he was saying, I'm not grateful because I got my high school diploma. I'm grateful because my friends cared enough about me to go after this for me.
Right.
I didn't have to do it. They heard. They're like, this is nuts. This is like a, they, I think are his friends who are part of the same community in town, felt like at a deep level, it was a scar on the city.
Right.
It was a scar that, a wound that needed to be healed and a wrong that needed to be right. Mm. And they did it. And it took 50, 60 years, you know? And I was crying hearing this story because I thought, what a wonderful story I tell on a Sunday night, first
it
of
is.
All.
You
and
know,
this
we
idea
do
that
something.
We can write. And yes. And during this time when there's so many crises happening across the world where one religion is fighting another religion or one race is killing another race, it just seems like, what time frame are we in? You know, it's hard to believe this is still going on in present day, you know, world. Mm-hmm. It just seems so hard.
Mm-hmm.
But it still does, and yet this story made me feel happy and joyful.
Yes.
And like anything, and also it made me feel like this, no matter how much time has come between you and your small goal or a goal or something that you looked forward to doing and didn't do, you can still do it and still feel the joy of it and still appreciate it. So, I don't know, it was a really great
heartwarming
moment. It really was.
So heartwarming.
And so,
like you said, though, and like he said, it wasn't about, I finally graduated. The man has his, he's a lawyer. He's got
a doctorate in divinity. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, he's had a full, you know, rich life.
Yes.
You know, beyond that. But what's heartwarming is that his friends rallied around him.
Yeah, and his
said,
friends didn't know
this
happened until just recently. I think his friends would have done something sooner if they would have remembered or knew.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, at this stage, they didn't know. And so it felt good. And I think he just felt really loved. He felt loved.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the idea of doing something for somebody else for no other reason but for no selfish reason.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that nice?
Ah, it was just so sweet.
Wow, I want to do that. Let's do that this week, something for somebody.
And for no other reason.
No reason.
Yeah, maybe I'll feel a little good about it. Maybe it might. I can't say for no reason. I'll feel good about it.
That's a good reason.
And why not? Exactly. I'll spread my tithe around. I was going to say I spread my seed around. That sounds
That's kinda, not too cool.
That does sound a little...
Yeah, that sounds a little... Yeah. Sounds a little slutty.
It does.
But you talk about your tithe or your seed.
Well, and I also want to talk about this other story that I found so cute and charming this week. I wanted to share it with you. Have you heard of Mom? Okay, have you heard of the game baseball?
The game of baseball?
Yes.
Like the Cubs?
Yes.
Or the White Sox?
Yes, okay, good. So then if I said to you, you know, San Francisco Giants, you know what I mean, right?
Okay. Right.
So there's a San Francisco Giants outfielder called Hunter Pence.
Now, is this a true story?
Yeah, it's a true story.
Is it current?
It's current. Happening right now. And it's just a sweet story.
Okay.
I'm loving this story. I think it's great. And somehow, I guess, he's been nominated twice in a row for best sportsmanship or something interesting.
Sportsmanship?
Yeah, in his own team or something sweet. He, you know, mm-hmm. got a couple of awards. I don't know what mm-hmm. for. But what's going on is that he has been the focus of a national smear campaign. And
you're saying smear.
I'm saying smear.
Okay.
But I'm also saying it as what they call it is I'll give you an example because I don't know how to explain it. Like some of the people bring signs to the games, and the signs are like this: Hunter Pierce can't parallel park, or Hunter Pierce puts ketchup on his hot dog. Like, I was watching the Cubs game the other day, and they had this, and the girl is holding this sign up. She's like in her 30s, and holding this sign up says, Hunter Pierce can't, or puts ketchup on his hot dog, and he just shakes, and she's just shaking his head, like, oh, what a, you know, because typically you really go after the other team, you know, with critical, you know, like critical taunts. But for whatever reason, he has become this huge guy, you know, they're calling this a mediocre smear, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
And so, like, even he gets into the thing. Like, he said, he wrote a post where he says, Hunter Pence returns library books before they're due, so others can enjoy them. Or like, Hunter Pence makes his girlfriend watch the Weather Channel just for fun.
Oh, wow.
I know, and it's just, I don't know who started it.
Yeah.
But it's just crazy.
That's so sweet.
It is sweet. I mean, you know, we're going to be joining a fantasy football league this year.
Yes.
You and I are both.
We're going to be doing it again.
Yes. And,
my team is gonna rule, Julie.
Well, yeah, and in our Yahoo Fantasy Football League updates, they're gonna have Hunter Pence, you know, Reed's app release notes.
No,
that was so funny. And so I thought to myself, if I was going to Hunter Pence, my mom, you know, what would I do? You know,
I'm not sure. I kind of grasp it.
You kind of grasp it?
Kind of, yeah.
You know, they're just not going away. It says, like, they call them, they're mild posts, mild, they're just mild criticisms, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so...
So what would you say for your mother, then?
You know, Christy Marie, you know, leaves the coffee pot on after the last cup.
Oh,
no.
Da-da-da.
Yeah. Or, Christine Marie changes her oil after 3,600 miles. Da-da-da, no.
Okay, what would you say if I said, Christine Marie leaves the toilet seat up?
Surprise!
Scary.
I always say, she likes to hover.
So that's right. I'm a mother hover.
Exactly. She's a mother. So that's why it's good stuff. Yeah, it's Christine Marie. Leave the toilet seat up. She likes to hover. So really, it's quite kind.
What would I say about you if I was doing a smear for Julie? I would do like something. It would have to be something, but because you're so good, like Julie Marie helps old people across the street.
Oh.
And then takes their canes away.
Ah, there you go. And then has to use them to go back.
Yeah.
And has to borrow their canes to walk back.
Oh,
oh,
that's
no.
true. That's true.
That's so sad. Like, one could be like for you, Mom. Like, I don't know, like Hunter, like one is like Hunter Pence hates bacon. Like, oh, that's just awful. But you don't like, you hate, you love bacon.
I love bacon.
Yeah. Or Christy Marie still has her Blockbuster card. Da, da, da. That's terrible. Or Christy Marie.
Christy Marie has two ARP cards.
Yeah, exactly. Or Christy Marie wants a flip phone. Oh, no. Not that.
Or I text with two hands.
That's right. Christy Marie texts with two hands. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So that was what I wanted to show you, something kind of lighthearted
That's
for a
so
Sunday.
Sweet. Yeah,
something
I love that idea. Now
yeah.
I'm going to be like, I just had I was doing a crossword puzzle this morning, and one of the questions was I think it was like a small diss, kind of like, you know, like it's a, you know, you just, it was not like a major ass diss.
Mm-hmm.
It was a small diss, and the answer was EGAD.
Oh.
So, you know, basically, you know, when you do a Hunter Pence diss, you go, egad, Hunter Pence.
Oh, egad, cool.
Egad.
Cool. I love it. Hey, before we move on to our family topic, do you want to do a couple reviews from Christy Marie and Julie?
Okay. What are we reviewing?
Well, first of all, I'll review Lucy since I saw it today. Yes, I saw a movie last weekend, but there's a reason for that. I've kind of thrown my back out.
Yes.
And so the only I can be doing this summer is
Julie,
not much.
Julie really did. I mean, she threw her back out doing yoga. And
can you at least say what it really was?
What?
Doing extreme yoga.
Yeah, extreme yoga.
I mean, I wasn't just like touching my toes. And
no.
Oh, I got to my back out. No, I was doing extreme yoga.
Yes, it was. And she got up from it and actually never really got up at that point.
Yeah, I said, oh, I kind of feel tight. And then
within about a half an hour, you were done.
I was like, I can't stand up, people.
Yeah.
I can't.
And that was 4 weeks ago.
I know. And it has been a
And I've
torture
been, I've been so patient and loving. And I think I said a couple days ago, when is this going to end?
I know.
When does this end for me?
I know.
Because it's not really about you.
Well,
it really is about me.
You know, growing up, Mom, you used to talk to us about how the family dynamics are like a mobile.
Right.
And what's his name that does that? Can't think of his name.
Oh, I can't think of his name either.
I can't. Yeah, so sad.
But major, wonderful guy.
Yeah, and I it's right on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah.
But anyway, and when one of the mobile pieces is off of, you know, is gone or out of whack,
yeah,
it kind of takes
the whole mobile's out of whack.
The whole mobile's out of whack.
Yeah. It creates pressure on that mobile. It takes away the stasis. Of
yes,
it.
And I have put pressure on this mobile that we
yes,
call a family,
have.
And it's has not looked good. But we're getting through it, aren't we?
We're getting through it. We're getting through it. So a few egads here and there.
Exactly. So I saw Lucy a day, and a 20-second review is all even less. Is that when it first came out, the previews were awesome. I'm like, this could be one awesome movie.
Yeah, it looks good.
About a woman who gets to use 100% of her brain because some jackhole put experimental drugs in her system, and she gets back with a vengeance. Boom, boom, boom. Love it. You know. And then I kept seeing the reviews, like C+. I'm like, oh, my God, how is that possible? That,
mm-hmm.
that the trailers were like literally an A+.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd be a C+. So I went in with lower expectations.
Well, that's helpful.
Yes.
Trust me.
And it was only an hour and a half movie.
That's helpful.
Holy, that's
I don't see movies that are any more than an hour and a half anymore. I just don't do it.
Yeah, you have to close your eyes then for 30 minutes of it then, because most movies are 2 hours long.
But I go and I don't. I just refuse to.
Yeah.
Even the ones I rent, if it's not an hour, if they can't do what they want to do in 90 minutes, screw them, really.
Exactly. So I'm going
It's 3X, people. 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Setting it up. And then all the action, and then what I like to call for Act 3, Festival of the Sacred Cows.
Exactly. There it is. And so anyway, I did like it. Thought it was fun. She's a badass woman, and it's kind of cool, but weird beginning. Very odd beginning of flashbacks of, we see scenes of cheetahs attacking antelope, and you're like, really? We have to go through this, but... You know, a director has his way of doing things, I guess, to get a story across. But Morgan Freeman plays the professor.
Morgan Freeman.
I love him. And so I give it a B, a B plus.
Okay. Oh, wow.
I love it. Yeah, I give it a B plus. It was really good.
Okay.
The beginning needed a little tweaking, but besides that, it ended strong, fun.
Mm-hmm. And not too much of what we call the DJO.
No, there's quite a bit of that in the beginning.
Oh, there is?
Yeah.
Should we tell the audience what we call DJ?
Directors.
Directors jerk off.
Yes. And there was some of that.
Yeah.
We know it when we see it. It's like pornography.
Yeah.
We know it when we see it.
Right.
And then I had to sit through a preview of 50 Shades of Grey, and Doug's like, oh, I bet 100 people are going to see. I bet a lot of people are going to see that movie, 100 Shades of Grey, or 50 Shades of Grey.
Whoa, Jill. You just upped the ante.
50 Shades of Grey. And the truth is, I thought to myself, no one's going to see this movie.
I don't think so.
Because everybody's embarrassed to go see it.
Yeah.
It's one thing about putting it on your little tablet, and another thing about actually going, buying a ticket, sitting in a dark theater with other people and watching it.
But have you, I've never met anybody yet who has finished the book.
I haven't either.
Oh, really?
No, I haven't either. So, yeah, I'm curious about that.
Mm-hmm.
So, girlfriend, before we move on, what's your review?
Geez. Well, I did see two episodes of The Honorable Woman. It's on Sundance Channel. And we hoppered it. And with that Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Mm-hmm.
And I really... I mean, there's 10 episodes I am anticipating, and I'm really liking it.
Okay.
Is that a good review?
Yes, it is.
Can I say that?
I'm really liking it.
It's kind of got a lot of action and, like, subterfuge, and kind of reminds me of those old spy novels where you never know who's on what side or whatever, you know. And, is it MI6? Is it the FBI? You know, it just and it has a backdrop of big business and also Israel,
right,
and Palestine,
exactly,
and England, I think,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and America. It's all there.
It's all there.
It feels it just feels wild. I love the show.
Mm-hmm.
I love the show.
Yeah, and it's kind of you because it throws you off. Like, it's certainly not Americanized.
No,
and it's not like one of my favorite times of the week is when I get to see Poirot on PBS.
Yes.
It's like an hour and 20 minutes. I love that slow moving where people just discuss and talk about the clue. I just get transported to another time. There's a lot of that in this where you just feel I really don't know the year that it takes place.
It
has that ambivalent feel.
It does, and it just says 8 years in the past, 8 years in the future. So you don't have any idea.
No, I really didn't. But so if you have it in your hopper, is that what we call it, Jill?
Yes, hopper.
Yeah. Then you can, I would recommend seeing it.
And if you want to, let us know how you like it. Go and to talk to us at ChristineMarieAndJulie.com and just drop us a little email saying, loved it, hate it, your recommendation sucks, or your opinion is really good. We're on the same wavelength.
Your opinion is like an armpit.
Yeah, everybody has one, and it stinks.
That was my GP version.
Yes, was it?
No, I would say PG.
PG.
Yeah.
There you go.
GP is what? The glove.
Or opinions are like noses. Everybody's
got one,
and it stinks, or something like that. Or it
smells, Julie. Oh, Jules.
I know.
So was that our review?
Yes. I just had some. I haven't talked to you in a while. I just wanted to bring back some stuff for you.
Yeah, thank you. I was really pleasantly surprised.
You know, Dad the other day was talking to me about John Tesh. He loves John Tesh.
I know. He loves him. He loves him some John Tesh, that man does.
Yes. And I think it was actually in one of our questions in our book, The Clutterfly Effect, that talking about family and divorces, and I think a client proposed this one question, but he was talking about how John Tesh now says that divorce rate is up to 64%.
Wow.
It's no longer 55 or 50, it's 64%.
Mm-hmm. And if John Tesh says it.
It's true. And my dad was floored by this. And I kept wondering why this is and what's going on in our culture that marriage is so, I guess, throwaway.
Mm-hmm.
It no longer really means till death do you part.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's a bad thing. I don't even know anymore.
I mean, when I grew up, if someone was divorced, you know, when I was a little kid, we kind of thought that they were rather saucy. You know, and it usually was like a woman. This really, I guess, dates me, but it would have to be a working woman because she was divorced.
Oh, because you have to take care of herself.
Yeah, yeah. So like, oh my goodness, you know, you work, you have to get on the bus, you know, and because you're a divorcee. but now I sort of think about divorces. I think that people want a great big party, and they want to throw just some kind of blockbuster party, and so they want to get married. And I think they don't really think about this person, you know, 5, 10, 15 years into the marriage. They just want a big party with everybody drinking and boozing and lots of food, lots of cake. And I've known, at least a dozen. Well, maybe it's a little stretch, but I've known a lot of women who, you know, when they're going to get married, go, I am using this to get down to a size one. I mean, this is the motivation.
Yes.
I want a big wedding. I will be a size zero or a size one. And that's the end of it. You know,
right.
Like that was their goal. They used this. I mean, and, you know, I remember when Greg and Rebecca got married, you know, a huge amount of energy is expended in a big wedding. You know, I remember just like after it was over, like just wanting to be in bed for like 3 days.
Right.
Like,
and a huge amount of money goes into it.
Oh, for sure.
Even just guests. You know?
What'd you say?
Even the guests. I mean, just
coming.
And it was a great wedding. But
people have to get hotel rooms.
Yes.
And travel, planes.
And automobiles. It is interesting, though, this idea that I was talking to my aunt, and she was saying that in Germany right now, she goes, because we've got some relatives in Germany, and a couple of our cousins have never gotten married and have had, like, families. Just, you know, it's, like, just not the thing to do anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't have to get married.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have this high divorce rate, and we have this other side, which is no one's getting married and still having kids.
Yeah, oh, so there's no divorce rate.
And so, there's no divorce because there's no wedding.
There's no marriage. Right.
And so it just feels like there's this new dilemma, or not dilemma, but just new cultural thing going on. And I'm not saying it's bad or good, because I don't know. But I've been, most of my friends right now who have families, they're not married.
Mm-hmm.
And they do, you know, they sometimes live with the person that they have the kids with, and sometimes they don't.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they never did get married. There wasn't even a divorce involved.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And, yeah, and a lot of times as I'm finding this out, and with some of our clients, it really is about services, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know a couple of people I know right now who, you know, they're like, we can't afford to get married. I'm like, what do you mean you can't afford to get married? You're living together, or you're so close. But I don't get it. I don't understand.
Right.
He's like, well, I might lose this kind of funding, or I might lose this kind of support. And all of a sudden, it just everything feels weirder.
Yeah.
And that, first of all, people know about this stuff. I would never know.
Well, I was thinking, you know, when you were just mentioning this, I was thinking back to when I first got married. I met this woman, and she was dating this married man, and it was like, oh, but scandalous.
Right.
But the reason that everybody talked about was that this man and his wife, it was an arranged marriage. And so they had, I don't know, 4 or 5 children. They had a home together. He had his, you know, business. She stayed home. But it was, in everybody's mind, it was okay that, I guess you'd say, he cheated.
Right.
Because his marriage was arranged. And so there never was, I don't know, I mean, but yet in other cultures, other arranged marriages make good marriages.
Yeah.
There's good marriages in some of these arranged marriages.
I think it all comes down to motivation and truth. What is your motivation for getting married, even with arranged marriages, or what's your motivation for not getting married? But there always is this consequence on the other side. You know, it never seems as easy as it once was when you decided to get divorced. I've got a good friend right now going through the process. And when she first told me, because I'm done, and I'm like, well, what do you mean you're done? I go, you're not done. I mean, and I, you know, put on my coaching hat, what she hates when I do this. And I say, well, let's just see here. Like 6 months from now, would you, or let's say a year from now, is there any place in your heart where you guys could see yourself as an intact family? Because you've got, you know, he's got a stepson with you, and you've got an adopted daughter, you know, and all this stuff. And can you see possibly? And it was like, no. Once I've decided, it's done. And then, unfortunately for him, it was like, I really want to work on the marriage now. I really want to.
What'd you say?
I really want to work on the marriage, you know.
Oh my gosh. Now you do.
Yeah, now you do.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And that's how I felt, too. I'm like, going, oh, now
yeah,
you want to work on the marriage?
But you gotta respect that, though. I mean, I know it's like, ugh. But when one person wants to work on it, I think you owe it to the other person.
I do, too. Or figure it out.
I love what you said, though, about... you said that the issue of services, and it made me think of one of my clients just really recently, who really is on the kind of on the threshold of a kind of a new cool business. And the thing is, she has her business can't grow because she gets services.
She has disability. She was on disability because of a pretty severe diagnosis, wasn't she, or something like that? Major health problem?
No.
Oh.
No. But yes, to the disability part.
Okay.
But and other stuff like Aflac and things like that.
Right.
That she would lose if she would go beyond the ceiling or threshold
right.
of this new business. And I could feel the pain. You know, I
right.
could really, it was like dripping off of her because on one hand, she'd lived for years like this.
Right.
And understood it. And then all of a sudden this kind of cool, wonderful thing happened to her. And there's this lid on it. It's a tight lid.
Yes.
That she, I mean, to other people would go, well, just take a leap. Take a leap of faith.
I know.
But again, you know, she's a divorced woman.
Yeah,
you know, on her own, raising a child. So it's not that easy.
No.
You know?
And fear comes into play a lot when we have these decisions. When
oh
the outside
my
gosh, world
absolutely.
Says, just take a leap of faith. And you're like, well, I've taken a leap of faith before.
Yeah.
And they don't always work out.
And sometimes you fall flat on your face.
And so.
And they go, well, that's okay. Yeah,
yeah,
not really.
Not really. I got, you know, right now
I
know
the bruises on that.
Yeah, and I know this situation. I can figure this part out.
Right.
But it is interesting because a lot of times when you're in that dilemma where you're making incremental changes and you see growth happening and occurring, and fear comes into place because, you know, like the next jump will require more faith,
more
instability initially.
Right, and I mean, fear does come into place because that next step, unless you are, and I've not met too many of these people, heavily capitalized,
yes,
that next leap is a pretty big leap.
I think it is.
There's not that kind of safety net.
No. And I have had clients say, I wish I could just win the lottery.
Okay? Oh,
and then I can do this.
Sure.
I can do this then. And you go, well, no, don't wait. But
wow,
when you're
right
in the midst of it all.
I mean, Julie, do you remember we used to have, I think we used to have like a meditation once a month,
yeah,
for people who wanted to get into a, who really believed they could get into alignment with winning the lottery. And some people did.
Yeah. Not the big ones I know of yet.
Not a big one, no.
You know, it's funny because during that time, I was winning as well.
Mm-hmm.
Little things. I'm like,
right.
And I would beat myself up. I'm like, you can win little things, but you can't win big things, Julie.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
the lottery
not,
guilt.
Ah, for heaven's sakes, I could really, you know, it would just take care of everybody's problems.
I know.
I'm like, oh.
Well, I just saw, like, this week, one girl from Michigan, young girl, but $66 million.
Awesome.
And she's on the news or something. She's got a baby on her arm.
Oh.
And like two or three other kids. And the little line underneath the newsroom was like, single mom wins $66 million in Michigan lottery, you know.
You're like,
oh, my God, she's got four kids and
freaking, like, how is she single? Where did this all happen? And what kind of man did she start conceiving these children with that would just leave her? And then you go, and what's the story behind all this? You know? It's like crazy story. Then you go,
I wonder.
And then you go, well, maybe they're together. But
well, there's always some. Here's the deal, okay? Just within this last month, we sold one of our older vans, you know,
yeah,
a conversion van. And it was a nice van. We just didn't have a need for it. And so we sold it to someone locally. And so we've seen the van around now, you know. But and she was a single mom. And there was, you know, all this concern and, you know, just are the brakes
right
good and all this. And we've seen it around, and a guy is driving it.
Yeah. I'm like, what?
I'm just saying.
Just saying. Pointing out things.
I think you're saying, I'm saying that we hear that people are single moms. I think it is about the services, now that I think about it.
Or, and I think that just is kind of cruel towards dads, you know. It's like, I'm here. I'm here. I'm helping. You know, and then do they say they're a single dad? I don't get it. I don't get it anymore.
Yeah,
it all
no
seems very confusing. And complicated, more complicated than I want to make my own life. But hey,
well, that's how, you know, on Facebook when they say relationship status.
Complicated.
It's complicated. Well, we have a kinfolk in our
my cousin, yeah,
family who has on his Facebook is complicated because he is what he calls himself polyamorous.
Yes. And I remember talking to him and he goes, well, you know, I'm in a polyamorous relationship. I'm like,
I had to find out what that. Hold on, let me bing it. Yeah, okay.
I watch Sister Wives. I know what it means.
Yes, yes.
And I'm like, cool. What am I going to say? I'm like, are either one of them taken care of, really?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
I mean, it's all well and good for the guy.
Yeah, I guess.
Polyamorous.
I guess. I don't even know. Those guys don't look too good after a while. They look a little pushed in different directions.
Oh yeah. I would, you know, yeah. I can make a guy feel uncomfortable like that. Oh yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure Dad's like, I can't please one wife. How am I gonna please more than one wife?
I'm sure Dad says that.
Yeah. That just seems like a pocket full of mess, you know,
mm-hmm,
or whatever that saying is.
A locker full of hurt.
Yeah, that's it. Or a pocket full of.
But you know what, Jill? If you had some of that mess in your pocket, that could get pretty crappy, too.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, I know we're kind of getting not what? Close to the end, but kind of getting close to the end.
Oh, okay.
We talked last week. I kind of want to talk about last week a little bit.
Yes. What did we talk about?
Well, we proposed this one question, and it was from Dan Sullivan's Strategic Coach Program, and he talked about...
And I love Dan Sullivan.
Yeah. If you were meeting 3 years from today, what has to have happened during that three-year period for you to feel happy about your progress? I mean, we talk about the Clutterfly Effect book in there. We talk about really getting progress daily, weekly,
right.
Feeling a winner, feeling successful
right.
in your life.
And we talk about it in the way, we like to talk about it in a tweaking way.
Yes.
Because there's not these huge leaps.
No, exactly. Because sometimes those huge leaps, yes, they can be made. You better be darn ready for it because you're going to have to work your butt off.
Yes.
And if you're not ready for it, mm-hmm. you better get ready for it, or the opportunity will just disappear.
Yeah. And also, too, you won't sustain it. And sustainability
exactly.
as a coach, as a psychotherapist, is really what I want myself, my mm-hmm. clients, to achieve.
Right. And we talked about that question in regards of just a one-week span, not a three-week span.
Right. You said...
What would have to happen this week?
Right.
So that the you would be happy with the progress that you made.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Mommy, what did you do? Were you happy with your progress this week?
I'm going to be truthful here. I always start off on Mondays really good. Tuesdays really good. I always have my five things that I want to do. And they're very, nice things that I can do. There's nothing horrible, not a lot of resistance, you know. But I think probably by Thursday, I didn't have my green drink. I wanted to do my mm-hmm. yoga.
Right.
And I didn't do it. I decided to just, I think I just went to the park or something and hung out.
What it really is saying is that for you this week for progress, I'm going to put my coaching
okay.
hat on, would be sustainability through the whole week.
Good. That's really true. And I also see what I'm sort of a feeling girl,
mm-hmm.
and I like to, sometimes I go, I really need some fun today.
Yeah.
Or I'll need a bit of joy. Or, I've got this one thing that I've been putting off doing for like 3 weeks, and it's like a form to fill out.
Right.
And every time I go to do it, I just feel this resistance.
Mm.
And it's not that it's something I don't want to do.
Right.
And there's an actual deadline to it. So I find myself being, I'm going to be coming down to the wire on this thing.
And so your motivation is a deadline.
Yeah, that's that
sometimes
is not
we say
like,
that. We sometimes say, give yourself a deadline date.
Well, I like to give myself a deadline date, but I don't want to have one enforced on me.
Yes, I know. And this one's going to be enforced on
you. Yeah. And, I want to be in flow.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's all this sort of self-efforting.
Yes.
That, I don't know, I'm working with it. There's this idea. I'm working because for a year I've been working with this idea of resting in flow and yet still doing the actions.
Right.
That's been a real, it's been a real discussion. There's been real obstacles and challenges for me, who's always like, got to have a structure, got to have a schedule. And so I'm really working in this idea of resting into flow and still continuing to do the activity that needs to be done. So, again, I met up with my resistance this week.
Well, that's interesting, because the next question would be, because it's actually a four-part question, and I'm going to propose this question for everybody to live in this week, and which is, what are the biggest dangers, or I would say obstacles or resistance, you'll have to face and deal with in order to achieve that progress? And so this week, as you're trying to achieve your progress, be aware of what are your biggest dangers or obstacles of resistance. And let's get ideas on how we can face them and deal with them and then get beyond them so we can finally achieve our progress that we really want to make. And our progress is worth going after.
Mm-hmm.
It really makes us feel better.
It does.
Makes us feel successful
in
our life.
I think the hormones in our brains feel better.
And
what do they say about the acronym for fear? It's false or fake?
False evidence appearing real.
Right. And if you can remember that when that when that fear comes up,
exactly,
it can help a little bit, you know.
Oh, right, because so many things that we perceive as fearful, I wonder if it's just I'm being uncomfortable. And I amp up the, for me, I amped up that uncomfortability with, oh, this is fear. I'm gonna call this feeling fear. But what am I really afraid of? Mm-hmm. What am I really afraid of?
Mm-hmm.
And it's good to ask these questions and deal with
it. It is good to ask. Because we're scratching the surface, like when we started out about, like, I want a big wedding because I want a big party, or I want to lose, I want to get down to size one. I mean, what's my, I guess you were talking about, like, what is that real motivation? And can we get a more truer one?
Right.
So that, a more truer why, so that we can find sustainability within that, as opposed to just having it and then losing it right away, just like we hear sometimes. People who've won a lot of money in the lottery a year later because they really didn't know and have a place for their money. They've lost it, you know.
Right. It just, they went through it. So that's a good place to end. If you win the lottery this weekend, don't lose it. Keep it.
Snap out of it. That's my advice. Snap out of it.
You know, please go to our bbs.com page /lifewiththegirlfriends. Read more about Christy, Marie, and I. You can also go to theclutterflyeffect.com. Email us at talktous@christinemarieandjulie.com. You can buy our book on Amazon, The Clutterfly Effect, Tweak Your Way to Total Transformation by Decluttering Your Life, and send us an email.
Yeah, and then
get a free book.
And get us the audio for free. And they can also sign up for our daily prosperity postcards.
Yes, that's clutterflyeffect.com, yes.
I want to thank our engineer for doing such a great job today, too.
All right, everyone, have a great, great week, and let's go after that progress.
It was great.
Yeah.
It was great. It was great.